Well, we've come to the fruit of the Spirit, faith. And in the context here of Christian virtues, we can be sure that what is meant here is faithfulness, fidelity, loyalty, devotion. Well, of course, fidelity, faithfulness to God, and faithfulness to the true church of Jesus Christ. Of course, faithfulness to our Christian profession, and faithfulness in what we possess by way of gifts and wealth, how we use these things for the Lord, to be faithful in all that we have, and faithful in all our actions and in our promises. Of course, that is all absolutely bound up with faith itself. Someone who does not possess real saving faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, they could never remain faithful for 5 minutes. The one thing, true faith in God our Saviour, will produce faithfulness. What this is all about in looking at this fruit of the Spirit is that we cultivate this fruit to a very large degree. Faithfulness, our subject tonight. Some are more faithful than others, we know, but we all ought to a very large desire, want to do better, to be more faithful, to have a devotion and loyalty to the gospel and our Saviour that grows and grows. And we can be sure that any backsliding will show itself most definitely in a weakening of faithfulness. We will be less loyal, less caring about how we maintain fidelity in all that we believe and trust in. Those that fall back in faithfulness will be less inclined to be faithful in all areas: attendance at worship, personal prayer, Bible reading, seeking to care about getting people to hear the gospel, support of those that are striving together in the gospel. All these areas will be affected by unfaithfulness. And then also personal standards will suffer. Faithfulness is so much to do with being faithful to a kind of living that we know is pleasing to the Lord, being faithful to the Christian life itself. Well, this is what we are considering here: faith, faithfulness, faithfulness to our Lord and our profession of faith, and faithfulness to the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. And also, the Christian will be a faithful man or woman in and of themselves. Of course, a man faithful to his word and promises, a man who can be trusted and confided in, that is all to do with being faithful to what we believe has happened to us, that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And if this is our testimony, that our lives have been radically changed by Christian conversion, by the working of the Holy Spirit within us, and that the very Holy Spirit is producing fruit in our lives to the glory of God, then we would expect the fruit of the Spirit, faith, or faithfulness, that would make us just the sort of people that can be trusted. We keep our word. We seek to be truthful and honest. We tell people the truth when it comes to the gospel message, and we can be relied on. We won't let people down. We can be depended on. We are faithful. And like John Bunyan's faithful in The Pilgrim's Progress, we ought to be faithful unto death. He was faithful, you remember, in Vanity Fair. Nothing would shake his testimony and profession, not even the prospect of a martyr's death and how he was cruelly treated by the men of that fair, the men of the world, and how he was martyred for the faith. And he was faithful unto death, as we have in Revelation 2, verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Will we be prepared to be that faithful? Well, I hardly think we really can answer such a question. But how far does our faithfulness take us now? How far are we prepared to go? What wouldn't we do for the Lord? What would we give up or forsake? What would we go through and suffer for our Saviour to show how faithful we are? How strong is the principle of faithfulness in our lives? Not to mention that this is one of the most appalling features of our present day Christianity. Faithfulness is the last thing so many professing Christians are. So many are so easily turned aside. So many have but the flimsiest attachment to any real Bible-based evangelicalism or an earnest desire to see souls saved and glory brought to God. Thousands may attend some church, but what possible difference does it really make to their lives? How are so many any different from the average, decent, law-abiding citizen who claim no profession in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Faithfulness is a very great distinction in true Christians that ought to shine forth to the glory of God and be the greatest possible instrumentality in evangelism of the lost. Without faithfulness, the Christian's just a shell. Just a shell. Just a piece of furniture in the church. And even worse, without faithfulness, a Christian will be the greatest excuse for non-believers to say, there's nothing in it. There's nothing in this Christianity. Nothing at all. The unbeliever clearly sees that if someone has a real attachment to the Christian faith, then they will be faithful to all those things. But if they don't see it, then that's the big excuse, the big turn-off for the unbeliever. Well, there's nothing really in it. And true Christianity makes a man, a woman, faithful. The Christian is faithful as a man, faithful as a neighbour, faithful as a friend, faithful as a father, husband, as a wife, son, daughter. The Christian is faithful, of course, to his contracts, faithful to every promise he makes. No man can be a Christian who is not thus faithful. And all pretensions of being under the influences of the Spirit, when such fidelity doesn't exist, well, they're deceitful. They're vain. Now, we can see that as with the other fruit of the Spirit, these are the very signs of life, of spiritual life, the proof that someone truly is the Lord's, that they have been saved. It also proves the opposite, that so many, probably vast numbers, of so-called believers, because they do not display even a semblance of faithfulness, well, what kind of Christianity can that be? It must be false. It cannot be what we see in our Bibles. One of the great hallmarks of the Christian is undoubtedly faithfulness. Now, we must make the tie-up between faith and faithfulness. We see that the word here is actual faith, and in the context we believe it's faithfulness, and we'll see more of that in a moment. But the word we have here is faith in Galatians 5:22. But the context is faithfulness. What's the difference? Why do we make the distinction? How are they joined? In that you cannot have one without the other. Well, for instance, let's take our faith in Christ. We all know that without faith in Christ, we cannot be saved. We trust in Christ for salvation. That's our faith. That faith is being absolutely persuaded that the death of our Saviour is the only means of forgiveness. That in trusting the Saviour and what he has done on the cross and what he has promised and trusting in who he is, that this is God's method of salvation. That there is no other way into heaven. No way to the Father but by Christ. So we are saved by faith. And it's all God's work. It's all of grace. All undeserved. Faith is the means that God has used to join us to himself. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts and minds, and we trust in Christ, and we are forgiven, pardoned, and saved. Now, that faith is not temporary, just to get us saved, as it were. And it's not a historic faith whereby we just accept the facts of the Bible and the atonement without really trusting in Christ personally. No, this is dynamic. It's life-changing, and it's lifelong, this belief and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is ever present. It is the thing that makes us worship. Our faith is what makes us want others to know the gospel. That makes us want others to know what we have found. Our faith makes us live a certain sort of way. Because one has saved, who has saved us? Because of his sake, the Lord Jesus Christ has shown us that that is what he wants us to do. Our faith in Christ has given us an attachment to the Bible, the word of God, which is the word of Christ. And we see it as the instruction. The Bible is our instruction for our lives and witness and church and worship. And because we trust in Christ, because we have faith in Christ, and that faith is real, we cannot do other than live as he wants us to. Our faith in Christ makes us faithful to what he wants of us. Our faith in Christ makes us faithful to him. It makes us faithful to what he says. Our faith in Christ makes us faithful to what he wants of us. And it makes us faithful, of course, to his church. And it makes us faithful to his people. Our faith, well, it makes us faithful to his cause, the gospel. Our faith makes us faithful to his person and his worship and his reputation in the world. You see how the two things are so bound up. We have saving faith in Christ, and that makes us faithful to him and all that he requests of us. It is a fruit of the Spirit, faith. Faith in Christ, but also faithfulness to him. Well, we say the same thing about the Bible, the Word of God. We have faith in the Bible. Faith. We are absolutely persuaded that the Bible is the Word of God. So as we have faith in the Scripture that it is truly God's Word, so we are faithful to it, the Bible. We believe it on the one hand, and then we obey it on the other hand. We are faithful to its teaching. We are faithful to its truths and doctrines. We are faithful in what it instructs us in, and we are faithful in listening to its warnings, and we are faithful to order our lives and our churches by the principles and wisdom that we find in the Bible that we want to be faithful to. So we have faith in Christ as our Saviour, and we have faith in the Bible as the Word of God, and we cannot help but be faithful to the Saviour and faithful in turn to the Word of God. Our fidelity, our loyalty, our devotion to God and his word is so bound up with our belief and trust in him who has given to us eternal life. And we can see from this that the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, is nothing to do with what so many do in our land, just turning up each week, acting respectably, and if pressed, saying that they believe in Christ and believe in the Bible. Faithfulness is a heart condition. It is a lively faith, a faith that so desires each day to maintain and show all fidelity and loyalty to the gospel and God's word and the Saviour. Well, how can we be helped to cultivate this fruit? Well, just one text or two verses here this evening. And it's a strange text, but it comes here in Titus chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. Where Paul is exhorting Titus to in turn exhort the servants, the slaves. And he says this, Titus 2 verse 9, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Saviour in all things. Well, now you might think this is a strange text to use for faithfulness, but let me just show you. Paul is giving instructions to Titus to pass on to the Christians in Crete, and here to Christian servants, literally slaves. Here are instructions in particular for Christian slaves, but you cannot help seeing that this also is an instruction for all Christians as servants, as bond slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this fidelity, the word we have there in verse 10, is exactly the same word in the Greek as faith or faithfulness that we have in Galatians 5:22 in the list of the fruit of the Spirit. And fidelity, loyalty, faithfulness that we are to show to our master, being the Lord Jesus Christ. And these two verses are so helpful to us in a consideration of this fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, that we want to see grow in our lives. Well, first of all, see here a relationship in which faithfulness is to be shown. It is the servant-master relationship. We might find that difficult, as those slaves did in their wretched position as slaves, but still as Christians, slaves, some of them, they were exhorted to be faithful to their masters. But if we think of ourselves as servants of God and of our dear Saviour, we see at once what an obligation we are under to be faithful to our Master. We are servants of the most privileged kind, called to be servants, privileged to serve such a Master. All such service should be a delight to us. All such work and direction and command from our Master should be taken up with such enthusiasm, such readiness, eagerness, and even what else, Lord, do you want me to do? Well, faithfulness is all about this relationship that we have entered into, in being called into God's service. Of course, if anyone were not interested in that, we could hardly call them Christian. A Christian is a child of God, but he is equally a servant of God. Anyone with a profession of faith in Christ, and let's be clear, that must also be a profession of fidelity, of faithfulness to Christ, well, they must recognise that relationship in their lives, that of servant and Lord, servant and master. One of the very great problems in many churches today is that many are called to salvation without the slightest thought that it must be a call to this relationship also, servant and master. Whatever happened to, O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. Faithfulness must recognise the relationship of servant and master that we have been called to. Now, to show all good fidelity, as you see there in verse 10, not purloining, pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, to show good fidelity is to be faithful. And it must mean obedience, because we see it in verse 9. Servants, slaves, be obedient unto your own masters, showing all good fidelity. The thing ties up, absolutely. For all practical purposes, faithfulness is obedience. To be faithful to the Lord is to obey the Master, to do as we are commanded and exhorted. Well, that is to be faithful. Without obedience, there can be no faithfulness. And anyone who says he is faithful, but has glaring examples of disobedience to the word of God in their lives, well, such a profession of faithfulness to God, well, it can't be credible. The most simple and clear definition of anyone's faithfulness to anyone else in the world is usually obedience. It is pleasing them. Do you see that in verse 9? And to please them well in all things. So this obedience is to do with pleasing, and that is to do with fidelity. It's to do all that they want with in an earthly relationship, and to do that instantly with joy and with nothing being too much trouble. Faithfulness is obedience. And look, you see here, fidelity is pleasing in all things, not just some, not just in the most important, not just in small things, but in all things. This is such a help to us, I think, in understanding faithfulness. I wonder how much we go through life thinking, how can I please God today? How much prayer and thought goes into our plans for life or the future? Where does this come in? How can I be faithful? How can I show fidelity? How can I please my master? The opposite is also true and helpful. We must constantly ask ourselves, is there anything in my life that is not pleasing? Anything at all? Because I so want to please in all things. Well, I can be sure that disobedience is not pleasing. And so our constant prayer will be, show me, Lord, if there's anything like that, disobedience, displeasing, anything of unfaithfulness in anything in my life. And this is very interesting. Do you see it there also? It says, not answering again. Now, a slave would often do that if they could get away with it. But questioning is a real sign of unfaithfulness. If we question what the Lord gives us, if we're always questioning what the Lord requires of us, if we balk at what is commanded of us in the scripture, and if we dispute, as it were, God's dealings with us and complain inwardly, then that is all the very opposite of showing all good fidelity, and that is unfaithfulness. Answering again or questioning is all delay. It's all, can I get out of this? It's all, perhaps I can wriggle out of this situation. And that's not faithfulness. That's not real desire to please and be obedient. Well, it cannot be. And then look there in verse 10. This is a great piece of teaching here. Not purloining, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, loyalty. Well, you can imagine a slave always doing this, always pilfering. Certainly food, and if possible, any small thing they could pick up to sell. Well, I imagine it must have been one of the greatest problems for slave owners in those days, that things just went missing all the time. And the more slaves you had, perhaps the worse the problem was. And purloining, pilfering, nearly always has the idea of little things even today. Well, someone says, I'll have that hotel towel, or that ashtray, or that pencil, or even you hear of toilet rolls going astray. Petty pilfering. Well, for a slave to be faithful as a Christian in all things meant that not even the smallest things would be taken. Ah, but how about the Christian that skimps on prayer, is half-hearted in worship, is not careful in their giving? Or how about things that no one else can detect? No one will know. No one will miss what is pilfered from the Lord. One verse of a hymn might be sung meaningfully, and the rest, well, hardly thought of. some sermons where concentration wanders. Well, we all have difficulty, but can we think, well, what does it really matter? Some obvious duty, Christian duty done half-heartedly. It's so easy to steal from God. No large amounts, but these all really add up to gross disobedience. All those small ways of cutting corners spiritually, not using all our efforts in some things. Faithfulness is all about not pilfering, as it were, from God what is his due and what is his right. Of course, a Christian slave was not to pilfer what was entrusted to his care. He was to look after things and use them as his master instructed him. So it is with us. We have been entrusted with the gospel and the means to propagate it. And we have been given the Holy Spirit to live lives to the glory of God. We must not waste, as it were, these things. We must not use them just for ourselves. We have these things on trust. Our wealth, our possessions, our faculties, our gifts, all must be used for the Lord and used as far as possible in their faithfulness, not clipped and half-heartedly put into practice, but showing all good fidelity, real faithfulness. And we see here we have to show it. Show it. Faithfulness, like all fruits of the Spirit, have a practical outworking. Faithfulness to God, faithfulness to the Lord's people, faithfulness to the true church, faithfulness, of course, to those nearest and dearest to us in our family responsibilities, and also, and this is so important, faithfulness to this godless generation in which we live. Faithfulness to the gospel, to pray for them and use all means to bring them the words of life. By loyalty also to the Lord's people that really try to be faithful in the greatest of things. And we are to be faithful because, do you see there, it adorns the doctrine, the truth of salvation. Well, of course, it adorns that if we're faithful, it proves that we've been converted. If we're faithful, it shows that God's doctrine, truth of salvation, really works, that it really does change people. And one of the greatest changes that it brings about is that it makes us faithful in all these areas. Faith, faithfulness. Oh, how faithful God has been to us. May we show all faithfulness to him in ever greater degrees. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is faith. Faithfulness. May the Lord help us in these things. Amen. Amen.